majority of people want to be, and I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about guys. Like, I think Razia first said Titty Tuesday. Don't forget, men had the, I forgot what day it was, the whole eggplant thing. Like, everybody is just selling sex. Sex, 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 culture, whole cartoon. Dress as skimpy as you possibly can. F*** as many bras as you possibly can. Like, we have embraced it and called it freedom.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined my co-host, Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, take it away.
Well, we, OJ passed away. I don't know how you guys want to discuss that, but I'll just say, hey man, he was a great running back. He, you know, had a successful career after football, and then he more than likely probably did, yeah, he probably did it, killed his ex-wife and her. They always call him the friend, but he probably was, well, I guess none of that matters. Killed two people, got away with it, and then wound up going to jail for nearly 10 years for something else. I think it was kidnapping and robbery at the time. Basically, he was trying to get his own stuff back, but he passed away, and it's just been interesting to see, you know, where people are in defense of him versus in 90, what was that? When did that verdict come out? 95? When the verdict came out?
Yeah,
I think the murder was 92, 93, but I think the verdict came out like maybe 94, 95.
So I get the dates mixed up with the verdicts between OJ and oh my God, what's his name? Can we all just get along?
Oh, Rodney King.
Rodney King. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I just remember, I think one was middle school and one was high school, like the beginning of high school. So Rizzy, you got your phone out. Figure it out for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I will say this. It has been interesting. I don't know how to. I mean, I never celebrate anybody's death. I always try to celebrate people's lives. You know, it is what it is. He was human. He lived. He died. He did some things in between. The interesting thing was the conversations, of course, on the interwebs. You know, I saw one of the best questions I saw was, do you say rest in peace? Does he get a rest in peace? And it was just a very interesting dialogue behind that.
Okay, I'm not going to tiptoe around it. Here's the thing. Because I see a lot of people showing how Black people celebrated when he beat their case. And this has been said over and over again. It wasn't really about OJ. It was about a system that historically has been against people that look like OJ finally getting a victory. And I think Black people were so desperate for a victory, no matter how cruel and ugly it came, they were going to celebrate.
And that's the reason I think it was after Rodney King.
Because
It was
that victory for OJ was Rodney King, Natasha Harlan, and it was another incident in LA that happened like all within a year. And keep in mind, Natasha Harlan, who did not steal orange juice, she had the money, she paid for the orange juice, but she got into it with the clerk. As she's walking off, she gets shot in the back of the head.
Yeah,
and the lady got 5 years of probation.
Yeah, and I think all of that, but I think worldwide, nationwide, that Rodney King, because it was everywhere. It was, oh, they finally caught him. It was like, yeah, there's no way in hell they're going to get away with that. And then they get away with that. And then fast forward to OJ, and I don't even think black people were rooting for him, right? I don't think it was, if he would have got convicted, it was just like, yeah, he did it. Mm-hmm. But when he, I think the surprise behind him getting off was the bigger thing. It's like, you know, they, and, damn, I'm not even saying he got one right. It was.
And not only that, like, the real enemy in that whole situation was the LAPD. And it's the LAPD that doesn't need to be lost. The LAPD lost that case. If you want justice for Nicole Brown and the Goldman family, you need to start with the LAPD. They're the one that mishandled evidence. They're the one that put a star witness on the stand.
I played the fifth.
Yes. When it comes to do you plant evidence and saying the N word.
I played the fifth.
So
I played the
start
fifth.
Start with them. But anyway, but yeah. I, you know, we'll probably talk more about him. I don't know what you guys got. The only other thing I want to talk about, I tell you guys, for weeks now, the listeners, I read the newspaper. I just want to talk about Reggie Brown real quick. Reggie Brown was killed this past October. He was 64 years old. Reggie Brown was a diagnosed schizophrenic in his teens. He had something happen to where he had to get six of his fingers amputated. He wound up falling and he hurt his head to the point to where he had to get a metal plate in it. He didn't bother anybody. He walked around the streets of D.C. People knew who he was. He didn't bother people. For whatever reason, these teenage girls decided to beat and kill this man. And when I say beat and kill this man, I mean like pull his pants down, take his belt off, whip him, kick him in the head when he starts bleeding. Because we know all this because they recorded it with their phone. Started saying, oh, look, he's leaking and started laughing about it. They were 12 and 13 years old. And so we always talk about how every older generation always complains about the younger generation. And we always talk about how bad the younger generation is. I hardly ever hear how that current generation, how much criticism should they get for the so-called generation that's so bad that we raised. We're the generation that raised them. So it's just sickening to read a story like that. I don't know why it gripped me like it did. It's all types of murders in the newspaper every day, but that one gripped me. And it started with something as simple as one of them hadn't been to school at all this year in 2024. So there's a larger issue going on. I don't know what's going on with the parents. I do know they're in their lives because they were in the courtroom. But every time we criticize the younger generation, sometimes we got to hold a mirror up to our generation.
I agree.
And say, what are we doing wrong? Because
I agree. I mean, they're the generation of when we were young, the babies having babies. Mm-hmm. They're the babies of those babies, mm-hmm. right? Like now it's the, you know, our friends and family members that had kids at 16, 17, who then had kids at 16, 17 are now having kids. So it's like this.
Yeah. When grandma's 32 years old, yeah. You know, if grandma's 32 years old, you have no kind of like just leadership and mentorship or guidance coming out of that family. Yeah.
In 2024 is not the same 1819 and 1970. You know, like it's a different, you know, a lot of our parents, like you go to high school, maybe graduate, and you're almost grown at that point. You know, like they were literally, you know, my mom's generation and the generation before that, they were considered grown at 18, 19 because there wasn't a lot more opportunity. So that's a whole other conversation. But Byron, my bad for cutting you off.
That's all I had, man. The worst they're going to serve is like they go to a juvenile detention center until they're 21 and then that'll be it. So I just it's a story that gripped me, man. I just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. So you still haven't told me how you feel about OJ. You know, you'll give him a rest in heaven, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. My faith and religion tells me that every life matters. He definitely made I don't even want to call it a mistake. He effed up, and he had been effing up for years before that because of the way he was beating on her and stuff. So
yeah,
God would know what to do with his soul. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it was just interesting because I think somebody made the point that why, because he's famous, he's the one that we kind of point out. But we've all seen those Mook Mook and T-Man shirts who we all know was dealing drugs and probably got bodies and, you know, the teardrop tattoos, you know, and it's rest in peace forever, Mook Mook. You know, like it's why all of a sudden are we more, you know.
I tell you who is sure how they feel. You guys follow Tariq Nasheed? I mean,
or Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh yeah, well, they dragged her.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I was telling somebody, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't even know if there is an answer to the question. I don't know if it's like do you need so many rest in peace to get into heaven? Like, I don't know how this works, but I'm glad it doesn't fall on us. You know, whatever it is, right. It is. You know, so.
Not our issue.
Yeah, I don't know how many signatures you need. I mean, it might be a rest in peace petition or something. Who knows?
Yeah. So, but speaking of folks getting off, though, Jonathan Majors got off. His verdict came out, and he will only be doing a year of domestic violence course training, whatever, and that's it. So, no jail time for him. His careers already took the big knock. They pulled like all of his movies and everything. They didn't, what was it, Magazine Dreams, they didn't drop. I guess they'll drop it now since he's not going to jail. But we'll see on that. But we reported on X-Men 97. I don't know, are you guys caught up on it? Ferg, did you watch last week's episode?
No, right. It came out yesterday. The episode came out yesterday.
Did it come out yesterday? Oh, okay. Well,
yes,
yesterday's
sir. Today's
episode.
Thursday. No,
I was just telling you,
it's a day
it.
Later.
Go watch it because,
We will.
It's so good.
We will. I saw somebody posting on Facebook and said, I don't want to be a spoiler, but you need to watch it. And you were about to watch, you spoil it that fast. Like, it was yesterday, Rizzi.
I wasn't going to spoil it. I was just saying. That's why I asked, are you caught up? I wanted to say,
you know,
if you had already watched it, we could have talked about it for the listeners on Monday. But if not, I would just say, watch it. Yes, you have to watch it. It's an awesome. Ollie was just like, oh my God, like mouth open at the end of it. So like, I'm just enjoying that the kids are really falling in love with the X-Men. Like we fell in love, or like I fell in love with the X-Men back in the 90s. So it's just dope to say, see, they're doing an excellent job with the writing. The storylines, it's just getting better and better as the season goes. So shout out to them, man.
Okay.
And finally, I just want to say for the first time in history, parents of a school shooter have been found guilty. And so the parents of the Michigan school shooter were found guilty and sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison for, I guess, their role in enabling or allowing the child to have too easy access to the gun. So that's a big step. I know we've talked about that a couple times.
Make sure you be clear. They went and bought the child a gun.
Yeah.
They bought the kid a gun. You know, it was his gun. It was not like, you know, I bought a gun. It's in the house. It's like, yeah. Hey, Rizzi, this is your gun.
So, right. I mean, we've talked about that a couple times with like all the shootings and everything and holding the parents accountable. I don't know if that is going to translate into some of the other parents. Like you say, it's my gun. It was locked up and they got to it versus I bought you a gun. But if it's still easy access, there's not much difference of it's a gun in the house unlocked. But it's my gun and I bought you a gun. I don't think there's much of a difference there when you talk about precedence in the court of law. So we'll see, you know, if that makes a difference in some of the parents locking their guns up and actually holding themselves a little bit more accountable. But I'm just excited to see that they did hold those folks accountable.
I might have to look at that story more. I think them buying the gun, I think there were some signs that the kid had some problems and was talking about violence. I think he might have had a manifesto or some
stuff. The school called the parents up there and they kind of disregarded it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a lot of stuff behind it, similar to that daycare, the teacher who, or the principal, I think he's been brought up, or she's been brought, I can't remember, being brought up on charges, maybe even convicted, brought up on charges for a school shooting where the 6-year-old shot the teacher a couple of years ago. So, but with all that being said, and Byron, you might be able to shed more light on this. I don't remember all the details with the new advancements in gun control with, you know, one of the loopholes they had was being able to buy things at gun shows. Mm-hmm. And so people were able to avoid background checks and stuff like that. It was easier to buy guns online and at gun shows and stuff like that. So I think, was that Biden that signed into effect?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see if it stands, you know, but that's a major, I think that's a major win in the right direction. We just got to see if the powers that be will make it continue.
They should. So just a little bit about why or how, what that bill is, or I think it's an executive order. I don't even know if it's a true bill. Right. But what he did is he expanded what you would consider a gun like reseller. He basically said, if you're selling a gun, if you're making a profit on it, then you have to register as a reseller or a salesperson of a gun or vendor of a gun. And that means that even at a gun show, if you're going to sell it for a profit, you have to be registered, which means that you have to perform all the background checks that, you know, a gun salesperson has to. So that actually, it's just kind of saying, hey, if you're selling a gun for a profit, you're a salesperson. And so you have to go through all the laws that everybody else has to. So, that was the loophole was that you didn't have to do that. So, you know,
I'm a buy that cost and make a donation. They're going to find the loophole. They're going to, I don't know if that's the loophole, but that quick, you know, it's, that's going to be interesting, and I know that's going to be a hot topic come election season. Another one, Byron, you talked about the great state of Florida and their abortion decisions. And not to be outdone, the good old state of Arizona said, do what? Hold my beer.
Bruh. I was going to ask y'all this.
Take it over. Take it over.
Are they trying to lose this election? Like, by all accounts right now, if you look at polls and you trust polls, 45 is going to win another term. If I'm Trump, I'm calling, because he came out and said that they went too far a day after he was bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade. But if I'm Trump, I call Arizona and say, yo, what the hell, man? What are y'all doing? Like, that's the only issue that Democrats are winning on right now. And it's like Alabama said, oh, this is election year. Boom. We're going to do what we do. Florida, we're going to do what we do. Arizona, we're going to do what we do. We're going to try to make it as competitive as possible and maybe even lose this election that's seemingly right in our hands. I don't know. At this point, I'm like, are y'all trying to lose it? Like, what's going on? Do they want us to pay more attention? Did they think we didn't think it was interesting enough?
The race.
It's for race. the ref started calling more fouls. The ref started calling more fouls to make the game closer or something, man. Because I don't get it, man.
It's rigged. NBA, Vegas. Vegas is controlling it all, bro. Vegas is controlling it all. Can you bet on the elections? Can you bet on the elections? The margin?
Yeah, you can bet on almost anything, yeah. Yeah.
If I'm him,
I'm definitely calling him like, what y'all doing, man?
Let's put a pin in that. And then Rizzy, you got a joke for us? Because that's what I want to come back to.
No, Sophie's here. She should have one. Hold on 1 second.
Hello.
What's good? Oh wow. She doing him like Lil Wayne did Turk on the I Need a High Girl video.
Is that the Iron Fist?
Oh, he did. They said
no, on the Iron Claw. Was that the Iron Claw?
It was.
Do you know the Iron Claw, Sophie?
What?
The Iron Claw. That was like a wrestling move back in the day.
they don't watch wrestling. I've been trying to get them into wrestling, man.
What?
Because maybe you should get them to wrestling. What we need to talk about. We need to talk about WrestleMania.
Get wrestling.
And how good it was. Man.
I didn't watch it, but I heard it was good. Sophia, welcome. Yes. Tell Ollivander I said what's up.
Ollivander. God Averick said what's up, and I said what's up. How dare he?
So, do you have a good joke for us today?
I would say so. I need you to leave and stop reading my jokes. You're ratting me out. Why did the Scarecrow win an award? Because he's outstanding in his field.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Something about the last straw. I don't know. Like it just it wasn't the right answer, but it made sense. It answered
something.
It made
sense if I was talking about why somebody got mad at him or something.
Yeah. Why, you know, why is the crow farmer mad at the, you know, the scarecrow is the last something. Yeah, last you know.
Yeah. I don't, that's another joke.
But dang, wait, no. 2 for 1.
Yeah, boom, you guys get extras.
Collaboration. Yeah. Well, I want to point a person with privilege. I want to go first with my question today because it was about this political season. And I really wanted to see what are the huge, because I feel like the last couple of years it's been like almost like good versus evil, right? It was to a certain extent. Now it's real talking points, more talking points than usual. I feel like that's it. So what are the big movers and shakers, the talking points and the things that are going to make or break the election? So we were talking about gun laws. We talked about abortion, and so I want to really quick, Byron. When I heard that, the first thing that popped in my head, I was kind of like you, like why the hell would they do that? Then I had to think like, okay, am I looking at this the right way? Am I missing something? Like there has like. They can't be that stupid. Like in my mind, I'm like, there has to be something I'm not getting. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what I just read or listened to, because there's no way that this just happened. Yeah. You know, a day after, you know, 45 made this statement, it comes out. Yeah. No abortion at all. Unless the mother's going to die in the discussion. It went back to 1864. Version of their abortion laws.
Yeah.
So
before they were actually
the state of Arizona. And I was like, yeah, the territory of Arizona. So I'm like, am I missing something? So fellas, what do you think are going to be the things that are going to make or break the election? What are the topics? So two or three? There's three off the top of my head that I can think of, but I want to know from you guys who are way more versed in politics than I am.
It's going to be what we just talked about. It's going to be abortion. It's going to be crime. And for Biden, it's going to be the war in Gaza. Those are the three main things, I think. Now, there's always, and I used to thought this is something they just made up, but it really is. There's always some type of October surprise. Sometimes it completely changes the outcome of the election and how we thought it was going to go, but there's always some type of elections of the October surprise. So we'll have to wait and see what that is. Maybe it'll be one of the many cases that 45 is going through. And I know the right keeps predicting that they're still predicting that Biden is going to step down and have somebody else run. Like they've been saying this ever since last year. And I heard Joe Rogan just say next month, he's going to step down. And somebody else is going to step up and run. So
we can keep throwing dates out there.
Yeah, you're going to be right at some point.
Increases your chances. Yeah. Increases your chances to be right.
And mental fitness too. That'll come up a little bit too. With both of them, more like the media, I think, has done a bad job of only focusing on Biden And yes, he's had his mishaps, but so has Waldo. He's had play. I mean, he mistook Nikki Haley for Nancy Pelosi. And it wasn't just like a slip, like he had like a whole rant where he was mistaken, confusing the two. So those things would be up too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What do you think is going to be the deciding factor? Put your vote in now, your prediction in now, and what's going to, is it going to be big enough to, you know, because in the past there were things like, I don't think Trump can do anything that's going to get his people not to vote. But I think there's some people who are, there's some swing states, there's some swing voters that this is going to be the thing that really moves the needle.
I'll be brief so Rosie can get in there. I think Waldo wins, and I think the only thing that changes it is if A, Biden, if this whole Gaza war stops, but even bigger than that is if no, you know what? Go ahead, Rosie. Let me think on that one some more. I want to think on that one some more. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So my three that I think are going to swing the election or be the big talking points is definitely reproductive rights, right? I think that's a given. I think it's going to be the economy. And it's weird because both of them have positive talking points or negative talking points about the other group from on the economy, right? Like the economy is actually doing really well. And so Biden's going to lean into that. But it also makes him sound like he's not in touch with the common person because of inflation and how much it's costing to do things. You talk about how housing prices up, rates are up. So for day-to-day folks, they don't really care that the stock market's at a record high. They really don't care that inflation actually is starting to get lower because they still can't buy groceries, right? Gas is up. So it's this weird dynamic right now where the economy is actually good, but people don't feel it. And so the Republicans are going to talk about the economy with the people on the ground saying, you can't feel it. It's a sucky economy. And the Democrats are going to be like, oh, well, no, the economy is doing really well. And I don't know how you put those two together, but they are going to have to, the Democrats are going to have to find a way to flip that. I think Joe Biden's trying to do that. He's talking about giving away new student loan forgiveness or whatever. I think they're looking for ways to be able to make people feel it on the ground. But right now, it's just this weird dynamic where both of them have those talking points. And then third, I think, is going to be Trump's legal troubles and whether he... I think that talking point again is both of them have positive spins that they can use, right? Trump with the whole, oh, it's a witch hunt. They're after me. They're trying to get me, yada, yada, yada. Where the Democrats are like, he's a freaking felon. He did these things. He's an insurrectionist. Like, and I don't know if it's going to swing one way or the other, but I think those are going to be the big talking points you're going to hear over and over and over again from all of them. My prediction is Biden wins, and the only reason is I think that New York is actually going to come down with a verdict before the election on his hush money trial, and he's going to be a felon and he's going to be ineligible because as a felon he can't run for office. So I don't
think
we
left one out too.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
The border too.
Oh yeah, the border. So, yeah,
you can't run. You can't vote. How can you run? I agree. So I'm not going to restate them. I'm just going to clarify mine. I think it's going to be reproductive rights. It's going to be, the thing about it is it's going to be touchy because the way I see it, and I heard somebody say it today, it's like the right has been talking about reproductive rights for so long and being pro-life. And it's like a dog chasing a car and catching it. It's like you caught the car, you got what you wanted. Now what do we do with it? they're kind of stuck, and it's like, okay, there's no more abortion freedoms. It's up to the states, and now states are just taking it to a whole nother level. And it's like, hold on, I mean, it sounds good in theory, but now that it's here, like, that's kind of like rape, incest, nothing, like, there's no protection for women. And it's not even a moral issue anymore. It makes the party seem disjointed. It makes it seem like, what is the true conservative stance on reproductive rights? Because it's when the overarching theme is we all lives are important and we want to protect lives, that sounds good. Now it's like, what does that mean? And now you have to answer. Now you have to answer that question for real. And when you hear the answer, for a lot of people, it's like, ooh, I mean, you know, that's a little too far. So I think it's going to make the party look weaker and disjointed. And, you know, Trump, you can't write any better, you know, hey, every state has their right. Hold on. That was wrong. Like, literally. Every state has the right to make their own choice, except if it's that.
Well, I mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or two episodes ago, how he's flip-flopped on this issue. He's literally been on every single side that you can be on this issue. He's been on it at one time or another.
Yeah, but now his feet are held to the fire. Arizona makes him take a stance. Basically, he's like, yeah, what Florida did, we're going to fix that. And what Arizona did, we're going to fix that. What does that look like, Mr. President? What does that look like? Tell me more about that. And, you know, that's something they can pick. And it's going to be hard for people to morally take that stance anymore. The war is going to be very interesting. It's going to show either strength or weakness. And I don't know what the answer is for that. Like, I don't know what Biden needs to do. I don't know if Trump can talk about this would have never happened under my watch, and he can kind of almost say this is what I've done, or spin the narrative to the point where he can say whatever he wants to say, because once again, his base is not going to fact check or really think about anything he says, because whatever he says is gospel. You know, imagine if that was 100 Americans, we would go there and bomb the hell out of them too, yada yada yada, and that sounds like the patriotic thing to say, right? We'll bomb the civilians and all the churches and all the things we need to do until we get our people back. And you'll hear God bless America chants, right? He's going to spin it. But it really does, you know, it sounds good. The president can't say that. And then he's, you know, his BFF, one of his BFFs is, you know, Israel's boy.
Yeah,
you know,
so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it is that. And the economy will be my third thing. And I think the economy is one of Biden's biggest. I agree with you, Ryze. The economy is doing better than most people. When you look at the economy as a whole, like just not pieces of the economy. The economy is just not like inflation, interest. It's like all these things that make up the economy. But once again, the average voter is not versed enough and understand that. Plus, I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling right now. Like this is... If he can get them emotionally feeling like, you know, when I was president, the interest rates were the lowest they've been in years. You know, people were buying houses left and right. You know, the housing market, you know, the interest rate was, but people were, refinancing at 3%,
4%,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. So those are facts. Now it was because of what was going on, but it's a fact that he can use, and the fact that the average person is not going to be able to, you know, put two and two together and say, this is what was going on. You not only was the economy good, I was giving you guys money. You know, so there's going to be, you know, the deficit and how the, you know, the budget and all of those things that he screwed up. They don't care about that. We're not, you know, it's not going to make a difference. And all he has to do is remind them of how they feel today, and not that, hey, employment rate is down.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Unemployment rate is down. Like, yeah. So, yep. You know, it's we're seeing progress every year. You know, maybe you're not making enough money, but more people are employed. They at least have a fighting chance. You know, bread was cheaper, but more people have jobs to buy bread. You know, that's a fact. But nobody wants to hear that. So the economy, because he's incumbent and they're suffering right now.
So who wins?
Before I make my prediction, I want to throw something out there, and I want you guys to tell me, how do you think this impacts the election? I got three letters for you. RFK. Is there an impact on the election?
I mean, he's talking more and more like 45. If anything, he should pull some of his voters. I know Democrats are scared that he's going to take away some of their voters, but I guess that's possible. But those people weren't going to vote for Biden anyway.
So you think he affects Trump more?
Yeah, because I think those people were either going to stay home because they're fed up with how Biden has handled the war or whatever else they're mad about, or they'll just vote for RFK because they feel like, just like they did in Michigan for the primary during Super Tuesday or whatever. It was like a protest vote.
So, yeah. And that's okay. Robert F. Okay. Kennedy, for the listeners. So Kennedy is a third party, or he's running as an independent.
Who just picked his running mate, by the way.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be one of the, I mean, he's not going to win, but one of the most popular independents since, maybe Ross Perot? Far as can make the biggest impact on an election.
Yeah, I'm still pissed at Ross Perot because he swung that election.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Biden's going to win because I've never seen the Republicans this unorganized. Like, it's so many things going on. It's not just Trump messing up, right? It's, we don't know what a conservative is. We don't know what our party is. I mean, there's a whole new, you know, when you're looking at rhinos and all this, it's so much going against the Republicans and trying to figure out what their identity is going to be. You're going to get Trump's base, but these swing voters, I think they might take a stance. I mean, nobody's going to be any more mad at Biden today than they are right now. The only person that really is going to lose any more votes is Trump. Stands to lose votes is Trump and the Republicans.
Yeah, you know, because there's a lot of prominent Republicans that are coming out saying that they're not voting for Trump and you know, making the case that Republicans shouldn't. You know, you got McCain's wife and you got, you know, folks like that. So, I mean, it's a possibility that they can swing enough of those Republican votes away in the competitive states.
Maybe I'm just hopeful.
The Democrats are saying that, you know, they're going to make a play at Florida. DeSantis is like, Florida's a Republican state now. So don't just give it up. But Democrats are trying to make a play for it. So we'll see, man. It's going to be an interesting, you know, few months coming up.
Yeah, the Democrats are just going to do the same thing Democrats are always going to do. They're not going to do any better or any worse than they've done in the past. Like, that's just, they're going to be who they are. Yeah, if that makes sense. The Republicans are the people who are scrambling.
I don't see it, but we'll see.
You don't see the
I don't see Biden the winning. Potential. Biden's only path to victory is if Trump encourages his voters like he did 4 years ago, that early voting is a fraud and mail-in ballots and all that kind of stuff. He discouraged a lot of his voters from even bothering to vote. And so far, he hasn't really done that. And I just think they're more energized. So if he can stay away from that type of talk, then I think he wins.
Narrow margin or?
Electorally, I don't even know how narrow it'll be, to be honest. I really don't.
He won't get the popular vote, but you know, Republicans don't get the popular vote and they don't care. They know what the Electoral College is and they play the Electoral College. So
yeah. But I hope right. you two are right though. So we'll see.
All right. Who's up next? Who's on third?
Who's on first? I can go. Mine may be kind of quick. So I don't know if you guys have seen the story of Aoki Simmons. I think that's how you say her name or whatever. So Russell Simmons' daughter, who was seen with a 61-year-old mogul. I think she's like 19 or 20 in her early 20s. And she was hugged up with some like over 60-year-old mogul in on some island or whatever. And she was dating him, seriously. They have since broken up because Kimura said, was like, what is this? And she disliked it. And so they broke up. So it was short lived. But with that, there was a huge, there's 40-year-old difference of that. And, you know, we always talk about love is love and love is love and all of that. I want you brothers' thoughts on, you know, such a large age difference. Does that make a difference when it comes to falling in love?
I mean, well, that's obviously that depends on the individuals that are involved. I would personally think that it would be difficult to just forget falling in love, just to have anything in common with someone that's 40 years my junior. So, I mean, hell, we've seen even bigger age gaps than that. Like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, both were they like in their 80s and just had babies with like 20 some year olds. So, I don't think when it's that type of age gap, I don't think it's necessarily for love. I think it's one of those reasons I was telling Ferd that people marry when there is no love. And just that the man wants somebody young and beautiful and barely touched. And the younger person wants somebody that provides financial security and already made home and someone that can finance trips and a lifestyle that they want for them. I don't think love has a lot to do with it. Can't be absolute with anything, but I think for the most case, it's not about love with that type of age gap.
Yeah, I guess I'm with Byron on. I just don't. I'm not going to say I don't see what either one of them gets out of it. I think that's it. It's more of a, this is what I get out of it. This is what you get out of it. It's transactional, mm-hmm. right? Whether you want to admit it or not, you know, in a relationship. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, maybe he has a young soul and I'll use us for example. I feel like I feel younger at 43 than my mom did at 43. And I'm pretty sure I feel younger at 43 than, you know, my grandmother did at 43. You know, like, so maybe this guy has a younger soul and she keeps him young. He likes the vibrance. He likes that energy, you know, and maybe, you know, he's going through a late life crisis or whatever. And just being around youth makes him feel younger. You know, he likes that excitement. I don't know his history, but I married for love. I did all that. I raised my kids. I'm just trying to enjoy life and you allow me to enjoy life. And guess what? Guess what, Big Daddy? You allow me to enjoy life. Right? He's not trying to control. He's not trying to do all this stuff. Probably trying to smash every night. You know, he's going to pop his pills when he can and do what he needs to do. But at the same time, he's mature enough to, when she wants to go on a trip and do all this stuff, he's not worried. And even if she is doing something, so what? You know, he's probably seen millions of people cheat. Like his expectations out of her are probably less or less controlling than somebody her age or maybe a little older. Because if they're dating this 19-year-old chick, or how old is she? 19?
You said early 20s, so. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whatever she is, you know, somebody who has less life experience or whatever might be more insecure than this guy. You know, there's things that, you know, if we're together, you shouldn't be doing all this. Girl, I ain't worried about all that. You know, my last wife was faithful. you know, and we argued every day. Go out and live your best life. And, you know, I know you're going to go out there and do your thing on your girls' trip. And when you're at home, we're going to just enjoy ourselves. So it can work. And I think I'm trying to see, you know, I don't think it may work, but I'm just trying to see if it were to work, how does it work?
Yeah.
You know, if it were to work, how does it work? You know,
so she's 21 to answer the question. So yeah, and he is, hold on.
Okay.
He is 65. She's 21, he's 65. I asked this question because when I say love is love, who defines what love is? Like, could that not be love? Like, can they not be in love just because there's a 40? Like, do they have to have like all this stuff in common to really like just love each other? Like you talked about, Ferg, she makes him feel young, he's excited, he gets up and moves around and all of that when she's around. And like you both, you said she feels protected, she's provided for. You know, she might not be like super attracted to him, but there are like super fine women that be with those big fat dudes that, you know, like just like nobody's like, how do you like that person? So is it much different because he's older?
They question it.
Yes, they do. You
know, they question it. What do they say, Buff? He must got money. Right. He must got money.
They do, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, but you don't question, could they be in love? Like, you might question, like, how he pulled her. Maybe he got money, but you she's don't question, are they in love? Like, you think they could be in love sometimes.
She's there for the money. Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I think that's the question.
I don't know. I mean, I do think that they could fall in love with each other. There may be an initial, oh, I'm in it just for the money, hanging out, and he's in it just to have the arm candy and all that. But after hanging out, after kind of being there, you know, I know women that talk about when they're with me or they're with somebody, they're able to just like turn their mind off. Right, like they know that I got it. You know, you see all the memes and the TikToks about women just like in their head with their man and like do, you know, just kind of walking and not and being oblivious because they feel so protected with that guy. And if he's doing that for her, if he's providing for her, she could very easily fall in love with him for doing that, right? And then not necessarily be about, we can watch Game of Thrones together and I was watching Sex in the City and I know you don't like it, or Real Housewives and I know you hate those. Like, they don't have to have those things in common to like fall in love.
Yeah. I mean, there's no absolutes. I believe you. Like, it can work. Will it last?
I mean, he gonna die maybe in a few years. So it only gotta last a few years.
We don't know that. People living longer lives and everything, but it could run its course, right? You know, it could be, it lasts for a year, lasts for a couple of months, it lasts for 5 years, lasts for 10 years, and it run its course. You know, if it doesn't work, we wouldn't be surprised, right? Because there's too many extenuating circumstances. Like, there is a 44-year-old gap, but you know, that's, and I think, and I didn't mean to bring it this way, and I think that's when I was talking about, like, when I say love is overrated, it's like it can work and do all these things, but when you start looking at the things outside of it, it's like, yeah, is this sustainable? Like, we did it, and then when I had the baby and I wanted to, like, it's all those things, like, well, you knew this was gonna, you know, I think we talked about it, Razzie, probability versus possibility. Mm-hmm. It's possible this can work. Probably not going to work because of all these other things, but you love each other. And sometimes, you know, and I always think about, like, love is such a weird thing. You know, it's one of those things where your definition of love and my definition of love, and I've said it all the time, I loved all my girlfriends as much as I could when I was at that point in my life. You know, it was when I was 18, when I was 25, this is how I love, and that love didn't change me. And it's not the debate thing. It's just more so, it could work. You know, people get in relationships for, it's not traditional, but I don't see, and I don't know enough about the relationship, but I don't see anything wrong with it if they're healthy with it. He's not trying to control her. and do the certain things, and you know, because there can be this manipulation and stuff like that. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when somebody has that much worldly experience and somebody who's very young, you know, is he manipulating her? But if he's not doing that and she's fully aware and she's very mature and all this stuff and she's enjoying herself and he's enjoying himself, run it, you know. People you know, do dumber shit.
Yeah, you ask who defines that love. It's the people within that relationship. They define it. So it just varies.
Yeah. Now, if it comes out that he was controlling her and all that stuff, I think there's things you have to be aware of anytime you enter in any relationship, especially non-traditional relationships. Like, I don't think it's any different than an interracial relationship. Like, there's things like, if you're oblivious to this, if you go in like, hey, we're not gonna get stares. If we have kids, there's going to probably be some cultural things and things that we're gonna have to talk about. You know, will our families mesh? There's things you probably should consider. You know, in this situation, it's, hey, there's an age gap. You know, there's going to be things that you need to consider, you know, be aware, and hopefully the people around her are aware, like, hey, make sure he's not controlling her. Make sure she ain't slipping shit in his food, you know. So, Buff, what you got for us?
Oh, we got time? Razzie, time, man?
We have 52 minutes. We have 52.
52 minutes? Yeah, depending on, like, is it a...
Let me spit it out, man. Let's see how quick y'all can answer, man. Right. I want to know what are... three issues that you feel like Black people are facing. Three difficult issues that the Black community are facing today. What are those hurdles?
I think our first one is internal. We're in a battle of the sexes. Mm. I think this battle of the sexes is just...
That boy took one of mine.
It is. It's going to be our undoing. It's going to be one of those things, and we talk about it a lot. I try to call it down the middle. There's a lot of things that men are doing wrong. There's a lot of things women are doing wrong. There's a lot of hurt on both sides. But if we can't get to the point where it's like, you know what, we got to call a truce. I got to respect your challenges and your what we've done to you, and vice versa. You know. It's especially now as the world changes and, you know, our roles and our exposure to different things and, you know, the way men think and the way women think are coming, it's constantly changing. We don't have a blueprint for where we're at right now. And so with women just making more money and creating more career goals and just being super dope, is it can be intimidating. And I don't even say use the word intimidating. It's new. And new things, people are fearful of things that are new. Change is one of the scariest things in the world. Point blank. It's not just like, I don't want women to, you know, not me, but I don't want women to exceed. It's just like, I don't know how to navigate this. And I think men are changing the way they look at things. It's like, even men are trying to become more emotionally, you know, mature. And they're saying, hey, I don't want to be a bank. I don't want to be these things. I want to be, you talk about equality, you know, there's another side to this equality thing. And, you know, then we get called sassy and all kind of shit. It's like, when are we going to say, like, I hear you, brother. You know, that's a good point. I don't necessarily agree with it. I see where you're coming from. I hear you, sister. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I see where you're coming from, or I never thought that. Let's talk it out. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, because everything outside, we can't necessarily control, right? We can't control the systematic racism, all that stuff. That's going to be there. But if we're infighting, you know, the best way to break up a society is to, you know, to attack from within. You know, if you can get them fighting within, they don't stand a chance. So that's one. And Byron's probably going to push back at this on this. I think systematic racism, once again, that's always going to be my default. Racism always. But I think we're at the crossroads of a moral conundrum. Like, our morality is just... we don't know what's good, what's bad. You can't even have an opinion on anything, right? It's like, hey, these kids are too wild, you're judging. Hey, the adults are too liberal or conservative, you're judging. You know, like, it's, we don't know what we don't know. I was saying, looking, you know, and something that always shocks me is how many women are willing to expose themselves. Like, call it what it is. It's a thing called Titty Tuesday. And it's like, man, there's millions of women just willing to just show themselves off on Tuesday. How do we get here?
I don't know.
Am I complaining? Like, I'm not. I don't have an opinion. I'm not saying I have an opinion on it. The question is, how do we get to the point where this is a thing? We all have daughters who are going to grow up in a Titty Tuesday world. And what's stopping them from thinking that that is the norm? And it's okay, because maybe we like it, maybe we don't. But when you tell your daughter, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, it's, well, everybody else is doing it. Daddy, you're being sexist. You're trying to control my body. You're trying to do this. And you're like, am I? Or I raised you. I know you know better than this to be on the interwebs showing your titties. You know, we're in a, you know, even when I mentor and I talk to my guys about, you know, drug use and stuff like that. You can't just say drugs are bad. You can't say weed is bad. You can't. It's more so because it's being legalized and all this stuff. It's, hey, right now you're not in a place to do it. You know, you're an athlete. You might lose your scholarship. You might get kicked out of school. Like, you don't have the, you can't risk it. It's just that simple. It's not like, hey, weed is bad. It's like, hey, dude, you get caught smoking weed, you're gonna lose your scholarship. You're gonna get kicked off the team. You've been playing football for 15 years. It's all lost, you know? So it's, what are we doing? You know, I don't, you know, we can't, we're not supposed to tell women how to dress. We're not tell men how to act and all this stuff. So I don't know what it is. So it's battle of sexes, systematic racism, and moral conundrum are my things.
Okay. So for me, I'm going to take a free space with systematic racism. I'm not going to put that on my three, because I think that's a given. So I will say the anti-DEI movement is one issue that we're running into that is huge for the Black community. I don't think folks understand how much DEI makes a difference in admissions and outreach, you know, trying to get just make things equal on campuses, right? And making sure that everything isn't seen through a white lens. And so I think that's a huge issue for the Black community. But along those lines, I think a splintering of Blackness is another thing that I think we're running into right now, where, you know, we look at the Black Trump supporters and like, oh my God, what is that? But at the same time, there are a lot of Black Trump supporters. We worked really, really hard to bring the Black community together as a political like force and a block that we could try to get something out of these politicians and out of the system. And I think we've made such strides that we've had people just fall off and just be like, well, I got enough. I'm good where we're at. And so there's this, you know, there was always this, oh, the talented 10th, and we try to get everybody else on board and all that. So there's always been, we're not a monolith, and I'm not saying that, but I think for a good 40, 50 years, we were lockstep, arm in arm, like, we got to make this thing happen. And I civil rights was kind of that thing. And then over the next probably 20 years, 30 years after civil rights, we were there and we were riding that wave and we were like really trying to make strides. And I want to say I guess we got to the point where we felt comfortable enough that people have started sliding away and becoming like in single issue voters and like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. The community is not a big deal as long as I'm good. Right. Like, oh, well, I'm in the burbs. And so I don't really care what happens over in the hood and that type of thing. There's this 100% splintering of the Black voice that I think we need to get back to and try to bring back in. And the other one is probably going to be a little controversial. It's, I think Black men are getting left behind. I really feel like because we had our time, black men had our time at, right after civil rights, right, and everything, and now it's this wave of feminism coming in, and so you saw all these like programs being built around building up women and Title IX and you know, making sure that they have equal rights and equal representation and you know, that movement. And it was good. It was needed. I'm not knocking it. But what I'm saying is I think black men and the programs around black men and empowering them and bringing them up have kind of lost a little bit of its luster. And so they're slowly getting behind. Women are going to college at a higher clip than black men. They are graduating. They're getting positions at a higher clip. They are getting promotions at a higher clip right now in organizations that we talk about, that DEI or that affirmative action or the vision or look of senior management. It's much easier to promote a black woman into a position. It's almost like I get 2-for-1 in my minority hire by hiring, you know, black women. So what's happening is they're getting those promotions. They're less scary, right? I mean, when you talk about it, black men are just scary to a lot of like older, you know, hiring managers and things like that. And so it's much easier for them to get hired on the roles that black men are qualified for, but they just can't get.
Not to, because I agree with everything you say, and I think our listeners will, if you would just take the much out, because now it's almost like you're down. It could sound like you're downplaying their struggle. They still got it hard. Like they still have an uphill battle.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Yeah, so when you say, well, yeah, it's much easier, like, you know, it's like it's still a glass ceiling. If you look at men in leadership or black men in leadership roles versus black women, I would guess, I haven't done research, I would still assume that it's higher, you know, but the gap is increasing exponentially. Like that gap is closing exponentially faster than it has in the past. So, yeah, you know, so they're making more progress. They haven't, quote unquote, caught up to some of the progress that black men have made, but at the same time, it's their growth rate is, because I don't want to make it seem like y'all got it made, it's y'all struggling, sisters, we get it.
I think so, they have caught up though.
Okay, and we'll look it up, you know, and maybe they have. I just don't want to make it seem like, you know, we're downplaying it, you know, because we can almost sound like white men and, you know, the people who want to get rid of DEI because they're scared that black people are making too much progress.
Yeah, no, and definitely don't want to seem like it's coming off like that. But that I think is an issue, is that we have to, the pendulum has swung too far to where all the money, all the resources, all the attention is going to women, like women in STEM and everything like that, that you're not seeing that money go towards the males as much. And so I just want to make sure that we're balancing that out and we don't leave those black boys behind. And as we push those black women or the little girls to make sure that they're going forward and they're pushing, I want to push those black men as well, or those black boys to become black men just as hard.
So my three are pretty much exactly the same as Ferg's. All three of us have said racism. And the only thing I'll speak on that and add to that is that not only is it just racism, but Rozzy kind of talked about how we're kind of splintering off, but we're having a lot of our own black people co-signing and just thinking that they're just trying to hold everybody accountable, but they're co-signing a lot of the racist structure that we face in this country. And they're on some pull yourself up by the bootstrap type talk, ignoring the many hurdles that a lot of black people still have through this country. Gender wars. Ferg called it, he called it something else. I forgot what he called it.
Battle of the sexes.
Yeah, battle of the sexes. But yeah, it's definitely gender wars. And the only thing I say on that is it probably won't be a solution to it, but I think what would really help kind of push it back a little is that people who don't have a dog in the fight, shut the fuck up. Like a lot of times, like let's take it from the black man's perspective. A black man will talk about kind of like how Razio's question was, like the older man taking care of the younger girl. And you'll have all these guys that's making, and this ain't shitting on somebody that makes $50K, but if you make $50K a year, you're not the type of person that can take care of a woman and a house and a family. But they're chiming in on what this $600,000 a year brother is doing and calling him a simp and saying what he shouldn't be doing. This ain't your fight, dog. So just shut up. Don't say what you would never do, because you're not anywhere near that income bracket. So don't even say what you would never do, because as my income has increased, I'm buying and spending and doing a lot of things that I said I never would do. So you don't know until you make it. And then a lot of times women are criticizing certain things, and it's like, that's not your fight, boo-boo. Like, you're not even in consideration for this right now, what we're talking about. So if people that don't even have a dog in a fight can shut the fuck up, that'll bring down some of the volume in it. I'm not saying it'll solve it, but I think everybody has an opinion nowadays, and it just ramps up the rhetoric in a lot of these gender world conversations. Another thing, Ferg, you didn't say this exactly. You kind of touched on it towards the end of your last point, but I call it culture. I think our community embraces culture a little bit too much. Everything has its place. I know we're in a world now where you can't slut shame, but as I have proudly said on this show many times, and I'll say it again, we need a little slut shaming. Everybody can't be a and it seems like a large majority of people want to be, and I'm not just talking about women, I'm talking about guys. Like, I think Razia first said Titty Tuesday. Don't forget, men had I forgot what day it was, the whole eggplant thing. Like, everybody is just selling sex, 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 culture, cartoon, dress as skimpy as you possibly can, as many bras as you possibly can. Like, we have embraced it and called it freedom. And yeah, at the end of the day, you can do that, but is that a good thing for our community? I would say no.
I'm gonna leave with this. Your DEI thing with the women, with the women progressing, and I might have mentioned this, I'm scarier for our future than I've ever been before, because at the end of the day, I feel like, unfortunately, Black women had to grow up faster and be more mature at earlier ages generally, you know, and the saying that boys will be boys. But I think most boys or young men did stupid shit, and they had to grow up to get better women, to get considered by quote unquote high value, or just really, you know, not the good girls, but like
the sought after.
The sought after, or just like valuable women. Like, I just feel like there was just like, at a certain age, like, yeah, like, dog, if you want a good chick, like, you're gonna have to get your shit together. We all knew that we had to get a job. There were certain things we needed to do to get women of a certain caliber, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. We had to, hell, even lie. You know, some guys out here had to lie to just, you know, to say, okay, I can't be out here looking like this, because there's no way this chick is going to even consider me, because I'm acting like a little boy. And this is not, you know, blaming our women or anything like this, but I think there has been I don't believe in a gay agenda, I don't believe in anything, but I do believe there's an agenda to go after our young women and our Black women to kind of decrease, for one, them being some of the biggest backbones in our society, because we can always, like, we always had it, but like, it's a whole nother level. Like, being a now is popular, you know, it is the thing to do, you know? And because of the progress they're making, it's like, how do we slow this down? Like, how do we take their eye off the prize? Cause for a lot of guys, our eye was off the prize a long time ago. There are so many different things with the drugs and everything where Black men got distracted, you know, Black men going to jail. There are so many things already in place to stop Black men from succeeding. Now it's like, okay, we figured this equation out. You know, Some are going to slip through the cracks and be successful. We'll take the Buff Rozzies and Fergs. They're one in a million. But if we can get all these women that's doing the great, if we can redirect them into wanting to be thoughts and having a hot girl summers and all this other shit, we can slow them down too. I have felt like, man, the women are just as bad as men now.
Like but society, that's the thing. They're doctors and lawyers having hot girl summers. So it's like, it's not slowing them down, but because they're having a hot girl summer.
But it's what I'm saying is it is slowing some down. They're taking the eye off the prize. What I'm saying is the backbones are gone. Like it's that certain caliber of woman we're talking about, you know, that Rozzy had to step his game up to be with. Rozzy don't got to step his game up no more because she just as bad as Rozzy. Like it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander now, or what's good for whatever it is. How, like, we all trash, you know. we all in these streets, you know. How many of these doctors and nurses doing Titty Tuesday, right? Like, there's probably a doctor in her office this past week that did a Titty Tuesday. So what kind of man is she really requiring? You know,
she doesn't need nothing.
What kind of man is she requiring? She doesn't need a man. So she don't need a man. And if she does, the requirements are probably at an all time low. Unless he want to pay for everything, because a real man pay for all the bills and all this stuff. If he not, he's sassy. Let's keep the party going. Close it out.
What I want to start with. So I want to start with this. One of my favorite Marvel movies is Captain America: Civil War, and there's a moment in there where Vision, where they're trying to discuss the whatever the Accords were. That doesn't even matter. But Vision makes the statement that he's pretty much says that strength invites challenge, challenge incites conflict. And I find that interesting, because a lot of what we're seeing today, we're seeing that play out in a different way. And that is, we kind of talked about it during the show, progress incites pushback. If you look at everything that's happened, you look at the election of Obama, first black president. What did we get right after him? The complete, the very symbolism of the anger that a lot of racist people felt.
You got an arch enemy.
We got that personified 8 years later. Razio talked about DEI. Look at the pushback DEI has gotten now. Like, after all that progress we made, now I can't even say trying to undo it. Alabama, for instance, has undid it. We're seeing that. CRT, the same thing. Critical race theory. The whole so-called woke. First off, they took a word that black people use to make fun of a certain segment of black people with woke, and they just co-opted to anything meaning progress, anything meaning black, anything meaning a minority. And so I just thought it was interesting. The coach of my favorite team, the Miami Heat, he always tells his team, never get too high, never get too low. And if you follow basketball, they have 7-game series, and a lot of times a team will go up 2-0, and everybody's like, oh, we got this, 2 more games we go, and then they lose the lead. So you never get to, you stay in the moment and realize that there's a task at hand. And I just want us going forward, when we get some of that progress back, because we gonna get it back. When we get some of that progress back, don't think the fight is over, because it always comes back. Progress incites pushback. I just want to make sure the listeners know that. The second thing, I found out how much y'all really love J. Cole, because by all accounts, J. Cole pulled a sucker move. I'm sorry, he pulled a sucker move, and I saw all type of defenses like, well, we don't want more rappers shooting each other in the streets. These ain't them type of artists. Now, there's some artists, Moneybagg, yo, we saw what happened with Young Dolph and Yo Gotti. There are some artists you don't want to get in this type of conflict. But J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, it wasn't going to go there. A lot of their fans wanted to hear just a high quality lyrical, verbal battle. And he kind of, now he can change his mind, but so far he's bowed out. And which is his right, but I just found it interesting how people were defending it, because if it was a rapper that they don't like, say like Drake, who took an L against Pusha T, y'all unanimously would have called it a sucker move. So that part was just interesting. And the last thing, mentioned it during the show, Biden has an Israel problem and he's going to have to fix it. They just killed a couple of weeks ago some workers from World Central Kitchen. And it's like, now all of a sudden, the United States and the world is kind of saying, okay, Israel, you're going too far. Along the lines of this war for the past 6 months, they've been saying, hey, you need to chill, you need to chill. Watch how many civilians you're killing, but we're steady giving them weapons. So it's kind of like we always criticize the parent that says, not my baby, not my baby. Well, your baby is out here killing people, but you steady buying him guns. So at some point, I don't know what the ramifications are if we were to completely cut Israel off, but we're going to have to weigh that fallout versus what Israel is doing. Now, I think they pulled out like all of their troops now or something like that, or most of them in Gaza. So maybe that was the last straw with the World Central Kitchen workers. But this needs to be over by the summer, because that is a big thing that is working against Biden. And rightfully so, because what happened October 7th was devastating, but Israel's response has been over the top, and it's become damn near genocide.
It's genocide.
Yeah, well.
And I actually was thinking about that. This one of the weeks I want to talk about, how do we, protected groups are so crazy. Like, you can't, if this was any other group of people doing this, we would be outraged and we wouldn't sugarcoat anything. Because it's Israel, we have to be quiet, and anything you say can be viewed as anti-Semitic. And so my thing is, how do we have that conversation without, you know, being considered anti-Semitic? And it's just, it's one of those things that it's just very, I don't know. What are you about to say?
I was going to say, it also, if the victims were different. And that's what's been crazy. Like, I think the World Central Kitchen workers, like they weren't Palestinian. They were, I think, from Europe or something like that.
Europe, some Americans. There was a few.
Yeah,
some, three or four. So
American Canadians.
So 7 people versus the 30,000 that have been killed. 14,000 of them have been kids. You know what I'm saying? So who the victims are is what making people care less, not care as much as they should.
But you remember, we had a conversation months ago when this first kicked off. At what point do you? How many people got to die before you start a war? How many people have to die before you take action where tens of thousands or more are, their lives are at risk? So maybe it's 7, you know, never mind. Continue.
That's all I got. That's all I got. All
right. What you got for us, Razzie?
Nothing as earth-shattering as Buff talked about. I just want to say, one, shout out to Inspire You on Air. Contentville, what up? Love you guys. Thank y'all for listening. And I am excited, man, because this time next week, y'all will be here or coming here. We'll be going live, going crazy, doing stuff on Three Brothers No Sense, so we can go see the masterclass Rick Ross in the symphony here in Birmingham. So if you guys are going to be there or you don't have your tickets yet, go ahead and get them, because Three Brothers No Sense is going to be in the building. Doing it big, VIP style. So, like we always do, or Buff always makes us do. So.
Wow.
But okay. Either way it goes, man, I'm excited. I'm just excited because my brother's going to be in town. I'm hosting, so it's up all the way, all weekend. So, can't wait to see y'all, man.
We're going to get some KD chicken.
I might throw some KD chicken on the grill. That might work.
Okay.
Don't sleep on the KD chicken.
So I'm going to do this, try to be a transparent moment. So we had several months ago, we had an episode. We were talking about like maybe being like 12% racist or something like that. Become 5% racist. It wasn't one of my 5% racist moments or anything like that. But I did have a moment where I viewed myself potentially a little sexist. And so Marvel recently released a, I don't know if it was cover art or a poster for Silver Surfer. Well, not Silver Surfer, but I think Fantastic Four. Is that what it is? Or is it a Silver Surfer movie?
It's Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer is going to be in it. But yeah.
Yeah. And so the one of the things they had a female Silver Surfer. And I found myself for a split second. It's like, oh, I can't get behind that. Like I wasn't upset, but I was disappointed, right? Like it's not big enough for me to be upset, and you know, like, I'm boycotting, you know, down with Marvel. But it's like, man, they're about to spoil the movie with this. And I had a whole little rant, and it's like, but why? But why? And then it made me think about our conversation last week when we were talking about like the WNBA and supporting women's sports and certain things, and you know. And I think somebody was, maybe it was us, or was another conversation talking about female comics. And it's just like, how many female led things do you really support? Right? Like, do you go to, if you go to comedy shows, if you've been to 10 comedy shows in your life, how many of them were female? You know, a women's comedy show, you know, how many female, how many shows do you watch with a female lead? How many, like, what are those things? You know, movies, you know, why does, you know, a female Silver Surfer, if they have the same exact storyline, be something that possibly would turn me off? You know, we saw it with the Marvel movie. Because a lot of people just supported because they couldn't get behind female leads. There was the, I think most of the female led Marvel movies or shows had lower ratings than the others outside of maybe WandaVision. I think the Marvels, Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Black Widow movie, you know, like it's just people don't run to support female the same way female led thing. So Buff, I know you have your ideas about it. It just might be.
Yeah. I think if it's good,
it takes a lot.
You'll support it. And I think we first support what we identify with. Okay. And then second, if it's good, cause I had no problem watching Insecure. I was all in on rap. The first Captain Marvel made $2 billion. So if it's good,
you look at Tomb Raider, right? That's, like, they talk about women in action movies, but you look at Tomb Raider, you look, you know, there's plenty of, what was it, Resident Evil. So there's plenty of women-led movies that make a lot of money.
We can name a couple. Because you probably can name more than 10.
I mean, I'm not saying it's equal. So, like, to Buff's point, out of the women-led movies that are out there, I don't think people automatically shit on a woman-led movie. It's like, is it a good movie, right? There's a lot of male-led movies that flop because, like, they just are not good. And so I think what ends up happening is, just because it's a woman-led movie, it should go, we should be supporting it. I mean, Black Panther 2, Buff called it, right? Like, it was not great. You know, so it's one of those things that just because it's a black movie don't mean we got to go out and support it. And I think that's the same thing with women-led movies, or it's just that we got to make it make sense. I think a lot of people have those issues because of the gender swapping where, hey, this is a male character historically, especially when you talk about comic books, right? I know this character as a male character, and you're just going to make them a woman because, or you're just going to make them black because. That's, I think, what they get a lot of pushback from. But
that's a thought for me was
there's a female Silver Surfer in the comic book too. So that's not even Norrin Rad when they talk about the female Silver Surfer, but people are pissed. I'll find out later. Yeah. So, but again, to your point, it's that automatic, oh my God, they're just gender swapping it. People thought She-Hulk was just a gender swapped Hulk. A lot of folks didn't know that She-Hulk was actually a character that they had. And she's actually a good character in the comics. So I think it's that. It's that you have to be smart about bringing a new character in and not just making them a race swap or a gender swap character and really make it a good character. And unfortunately, they have to be smart about that, and they can't bring out the female Silver Surfer, right, and not have the regular Silver Surfer on there where everybody knows. People know these characters, so you can't just gender swap them and be like, oh, they'll take the female one. Like that, I think that's you're getting pushback from the nerds as well as the incels and the sexist folks and everything else. That's what ends up pushing it up. So
yeah,
we can get all that. We can
I didn't mean, all down that road. Yeah, I didn't mean for it to come to the whole conversation. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And I think the more we can, I did that to show people it's okay to admit your moments. Mm-hmm. And go back and think back on, like, well, I'm not racist. You probably are a little bit racist. You know, like, you do have some sexist. You do have some things about you. Like you said, I think you said it, but it's easiest to support things that we can relate to. Mm-hmm. And then once you get over that initial shock or get out of your head or whatever the case may be, then you're like, you know what? Let me give it a chance. Because, you know, on the opposite, you know, we'll go, if you turn on boxing, I remember back in the day, boxing, wrestling, Price is Right, freaking Family Feud, it was a black family and a white family on there, black family. You don't know anything. They could have cussed every person out right before the show.
It's still
on the
like show. That, though.
In your mind, it's just, I say that to say, understanding that we have our biases and other people have their biases, and it doesn't make them necessarily bad people. And the more we can admit those things, the better off we are. So with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, everybody's favorite bad guy. Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment. Most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.